With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost, and this is why Blank lost. Ooh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Hello, welcome to a special edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm David Bloomberg, and back with me for the first time in 3.5 months is, of course, my co-host, Jessica Lewis.
It's great to see you again. I'm sure everyone has missed us, or at least I hope they have.
I hope so.
It's been so long. Oh,
it
my
has.
Goodness.
I know. I had to do the math to figure it out. Now, it won't be that long before our next podcast, though, because I said this is a special edition of Why Blank Lost, but really it's the first of a special series of Why Blank One podcasts, which will sometimes be more appropriately titled How the Heck Did Blank Win? As is the case this week, we will be doing this series in parallel with the RHAP Survivor Season podcasts, the ranking podcasts, but not for every week. We'll be concentrating on two different groups of winners, those who make us wonder how they won, like I just mentioned, and those who did such a good job that we think it's worth like going over and, you know, kind of breaking down what they did. It's likely we won't go over seasons that are recent enough that either I and Rob or the two of us together have already podcasted about the winner, though I'm not absolutely saying that we won't do that. We'll just have to see. And how often we podcast will depend on the order that listeners voted each season. So there may be a span of like 3 or 4 weeks where we don't do anything. And then there might be a couple weeks in a row where we do, just depending on how things go.
We're going to keep people guessing. That's what we're going to do.
That's right. Well, we'll let them know when we know. But otherwise, yeah, we'll all be guessing. So watch us on Twitter, you know. Mm-hmm. Now, before we begin, I should probably mention how we ended the Big Brother season here on this podcast, which is to say rather abruptly. Those of you who are listening or watching and who are patrons in the Facebook group or who follow me on Twitter already know this. But for the rest of you, the reason we didn't have a Why Cody One podcast is that Big Brother 22 ended on a Wednesday night. And then Thursday, I was in the emergency room leading to a hospital stay. Now, I'm not saying they were related, but I'm not saying it either.
You know, I never even made that connection. I never even thought for a second that maybe Big Brother caused all of your issues.
I mean, I'm not saying that. So I am feeling much better now. But by the time I got out of the hospital, there wasn't much point in doing the Why Cody One podcast, especially since we'd been telegraphing it for weeks as we saw that result coming. As a matter of fact, in case you're wondering why there's a bear over my shoulder, it's because Jessica sent that along with balloons while I was in the hospital.
I did. I had to send a little get well soon gift to you.
Yes.
And I noticed, you know, since you mentioned the bear, you also seem to have a new buff behind you as well.
Well, it's an old buff. It's an original Survivor Nicaragua Espada tribe buff. Now, why on earth would I have a Nicaragua buff? You might be wondering.
Yeah.
Then again, you know, people who saw me on the Thailand countdown or ranking podcast may have seen I had lots of Thailand ones. That's because I attended that finale. That's why for that one. For this one, that wasn't the reason. And you'd especially wonder why I have the younger tribe buff. No, this was Survivor with Nicaragua made the move from Thursdays to Wednesdays. And as promotional material, CBS or Survivor sent me, along with others who were covering it at the time, a crate, a small crate of Survivor related stuff. So it was in like a fake Survivor crate type
thing. That's awesome.
So it had some rice, it had some beans, it had a buff, it had a, you know, a postcard or two.
A pair of shoes filled with sand.
No, there were no sand and there were no shoes, especially not $1,600 shoes. So that's how I got the Nicaragua Espada buff.
That's amazing. Now, I thought that was the old tribe. Isn't that the old tribe?
No, that's the
LaFleur was the
You're
yellow.
Right. I should know that because I'm wearing a fleur-de-lis in honor of LaFleur. So you're right. That is the old tribe.
That's what I thought.
Tells you how much attention I pay to tribe names.
I know. Yeah. Well, so there you go. It's a good reason to have it. That's a great backstory. I like it that CBS thought of you and sent you all that good stuff. That's right. Amazing.
Well, they thought of themselves. They wanted me to promote that it moved to Wednesday. Yes. Getting back to this, I think that was kind of a trip down memory lane, and that now it's time to continue that trip down memory lane. And it's, you know, some people may think it's a little bit of a depressing trip down memory lane if you're someone who watches for strategy. Yeah. And, you know, I'm one of those people, and certainly Fabio ranks pretty low on my list of winners. But when I rewatched, I was surprised to find out that I wasn't horribly upset at the outcome. Now, of course, that's easier now that I knew what it was going to be ahead of time. But even looking back at my old Reality News Online website articles I was writing at the time, I found that I wasn't as unhappy about his win even then, as my memory told me that I was, which is very odd coming from me, especially back when this originally aired. But I actually said in my finale recap, it's hard to be upset about Fabio winning. He's just so damned likable.
Which is why he won. I'm just going to start there.
Well, no. All right,
I'm jumping way ahead.
End
I know.
The podcast. All right, close it down. There is
a lot of things that need to be said regarding not just Fabio, but this season as a whole. And I know that a lot of things have already been said by Rob on the various podcasts that he has had covering Nicaragua. But I rewatched this and was fascinated by the season as a whole. Like, I wasn't necessarily upset that Fabio won either. Mm-hmm. I wasn't upset at the time. I wasn't upset again. But watching it, I've come up with a theory as to why this all happened. And I can certainly wait and share that at the end. But I have a theory as to why this season ended up. I do. And I delved into a very deep rabbit hole on this one. I really did.
Does it involve lizard men and space lasers?
No space lasers and lizard men. But it was a lot of Reddit and YouTube and just really.
Oh, my.
I know. I worry about this now. No, you shouldn't worry because I proved myself right, I believe, this morning with some further research. But
there are a lot of people who go on Reddit and YouTube and prove themselves right.
I know. But listen, I'm telling you, I have it all figured out. I know exactly why this happened. So hang in there, listeners, because I've got it. I got the skinny.
All right. Well, in the meantime, we'll follow the same path that we always do during the normal Survivor season, which is comparing how Fabio played to rules I originally wrote way back after season one. We'll also discuss Chase and Sash a fair amount along the way, because I think what we'll find out, now I don't know what that theory is of yours, but I think that we'll find out that a lot of the reason Fabio won is directly related to the reasons those other two lost. Anyone who'd like to refamiliarize themselves with the rules, you could check out the most recent version at robhasawebsite.com/blog/survivor rules. Or you can get the shorter and much more colorful version of the rules poster, or the rules in poster form at tinyurl.com/davidrulesposter2. There's one that Jessica's showing. You can see the corner of one over here. And for me. So, Jessica, what would you like to say about the poster?
Well, I would like to say that it's only $20, and you can certainly just buy that right on eBay. It is totally worth the price, and the shipping department loves packaging these up for you, I can tell you that. And also, if you are outside of the United States and you are still interested and cannot get one through the eBay link, that's fine. You can DM me, and I can certainly get that to you wherever you are around the world. Shipping will be a little bit more expensive, obviously, but contact me. We can work through it, and we can make that happen. So please order. We have plenty on hand, and we've had orders coming in, so it's great to see that, and it's nice to have this opportunity to remind people that that exists.
Yes. Now, in addition to the poster, we also have another way to get the rules, so you can always have them with you, and that, of course, is t-shirt form. You just go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com, click the merch link near the top. Now, that will take you to a newer and larger RHAP shop than was there the last time we brought it up. So you're going to have to scroll through to find what you want from Why Blank Lost. And then you'll find not one, but two different designs. There's the classic poster design, which I just showed you. And there's a new one that's a checklist of the rules. And you could get the checklist as a mug as well. So
yes. Unfortunately couldn't find mine to display because it's in my closet somewhere. I tried.
It's probably in the dirty clothes because you wear it every day.
Exactly. That's exactly why.
Yeah. Now, before we get to Fabio in particular, there are a few things I wanted to mention about this season, even though I know it's been discussed already, like you said, Jessica. First, though, Jessica, how did you feel about them splitting up tribes with older people on one and younger people on the other? I mean, that seems like an insane way to start.
Right? No, it was, interestingly enough, there were so many parts of this actual season that I watched that I was, it reminded me a lot of my season. There was like a lot of things that happened. Obviously the split of the tribes was one of those, but I did appreciate the fact that we were not designated the old tribe on my season. We were just Gen Xers. So I thought that was, that had a nicer ring to
it. He kept saying old.
I know.
And I'm thinking, how old was he at this point? Because is he really calling himself old? It's one thing to say the older tribe, but just call them the old tribe.
I know. And that's what I didn't like. It was old tribe and younger tribe. There was a whole lot of that going on. So I thought that that was interesting to see that was a split. But I also found it fascinating that the old tribe started at 40 and that they like, there was just no, were there no 30 year old? Like they
no,
just
there were
completely
no 30 to 40s. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. So I thought that was interesting that was how they ended up splitting that up. But yeah, I was sitting there going, oh, well, there's my millennials versus Gen X tribe, just Nicaragua style.
Yes. Yes. Well, speaking of your millennials and Gen X, I noticed or I enjoyed the fact, and we already mentioned this a little bit, the younger tribe's symbol was the fleur-de-lis. Mm-hmm. And there were so many of those around in this season that if Adam Klein had been on the younger tribe here instead of the one he got on later, he might have thought that literally everything was an immunity idol.
He might have. He might have.
Now, I am actually wearing a shirt, and I'll stand up and show it in a second here, that he sold to raise money to help your castmate Sunday. Mm-hmm. It is still available on Teespring, I believe. I don't know exactly how to get to it other than searching for fleur-de-lis or searching for you know, worth a shot. Here's the shirt.
It's awesome. It's very nice. So Adam's such a great guy.
Those of you who are on audio only, it says worth a shot, ... always. And it has a flaming fleur-de-lis on it. So it kind of looks like a fleur-de-lis torch. Mm-hmm. I had to get that when I saw that Adam made those available. And I can only imagine his brain would have exploded if he had been on Nicaragua.
He would have been way too young.
Well, okay, move that symbolism forward then.
Sure.
I mean,
it
was the younger tribe, you know. So
I
what
know,
if
but he would have been like 10 at that point. My God.
Well, wait, how old was he when he played with you?
Was he 26?
Okay, so he'd have been about 18, maybe.
Maybe
he'd have been like the Will Wall of
yeah, he could have been. He certainly could have been.
I mean, Purple Kelly wasn't much older. What was she, 20?
I thought she was 21 as well. I thought she was one of the other 21-year-olds.
Mm. I don't know. I think she was 20, and I think Fabio was 21.
Okay. Well,
so anyway,
should we talk about other people like Purple Kelly?
Yeah, we should. Speaking of Purple Kelly and her good pal, Nyanka, the double quit. We need to discuss this because back in the day, both of them were inducted into the Reality TV Hall of Shame, which was another website that I ran.
Mm-hmm.
And these, in my opinion, really were ridiculous quits.
Yeah.
This was not a situation where they were absolutely broken and couldn't go on. I mean, Nyanka helped her team win a challenge and went to a movie before quitting.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was the movie that made her quit finally. But, you know, they just didn't like being in the elements to the point that they basically got in their own heads and they pre-planned their quits. Who pre-plans a quit?
Yeah, there was a whole lot of discussion on this entire season of people not wanting to be there, wanting to quit, complaining about the elements, a whole lot. And it doesn't surprise me that eventually we found two people quitting. That part surprised me. One, maybe, but two, that was insane. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was an interesting point that was brought up on one of Rob's podcasts, that it's almost like they fed off of each other. Because it's almost like, in my mind, if anyone on Survivor ever says they want to quit, as another player, of course you want that person to quit because you're like, well, great, that's one more.
Unless they're part of your alliance.
And that's true. But also in the back of your mind, you're thinking that's one less person that I have to vote out. That's one less person I've tried to beat. That's one more person closer to $1 million I become. And so there is kind of this, it's a tough situation to be in because you're like, well, I want to support them. And if they're part of my alliance, I want them to stay. But at the same time, if you want to go, you can go because there is a mindset when you decide that you want to quit that shifts and changes and you might not work as hard. You might not try as hard and you might just become a problem for the entire tribe. And as a huge Survivor fan, watching anybody quit this game, it's so heartbreaking because the amount of people who want to play this game, who are probably sitting on their couch just waiting for that moment to get out there and play, and then to see two people give up like that and be given almost like a second chance because they weren't even allowed to quit, right? Like Jeff told them, I'm not going to let you do this now. You have to go back and think about it. And then at Tribal Council, we'll talk about it. Like, when does Jeff ever do that? When does he ever, like, try to give people, like, a second chance? Usually he's just like, all right, then get out. We don't want you here.
I suspect in this case it was for production reasons. Like,
he was looking at this
going, crap, if we get a double quit here, I need to at least have some sort of Tribal Council.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that that's why. It's just frustrating to have watched it the first time and then to watch it the second time, even though I knew it was coming. I kept waiting for it because I didn't remember exactly when it was coming. Mm-hmm. But all of this leads to the question that's already been debated, I know, about whether they should have been in the jury, because two of them swung the vote from Chase to Fabio.
Yeah.
If they weren't there, we would not be talking about why Fabio won.
Mm-hmm.
My personal opinion, if you quit, you quit. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You couldn't bother to stay in the game. You messed up people's strategies by leaving. You don't get to say who wins.
I do not disagree with that at all.
I wasn't sure where you were going there. I was like, wait.
It really is. That's part of the trade-off, right? Like, I got voted out, and so now I'm frustrated. I might be upset or angry or fully supportive of people who are left in the game, whatever the case may be. But that's the trade-off in Survivor, is that the people that you are a part of removing from the game then become the part of the group that decides who wins. And when you have two individuals who have taken it upon themselves to remove themselves from the game, and have negatively affected potentially everybody moving forward who was aligned with them and who was working with them. Now the whole game has shifted because of their decision to leave. And I don't think that they should be given a chance to then come in and go, okay, not only did I negatively affect your game because I decided to quit, now I get to decide who wins, even though I didn't have enough of my own strength to last through all of this. Now I'm going to sit in judgment of you who did. And I know that they were supportive, if you will, during their questions and their, you know, mm-hmm. to the players that remained in the final. But still, I don't think that they should be given that opportunity. If you quit, you should walk out the door and we don't see you again. That's it. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, even when Jeff was saying, now, finalists, you have to make your case to these 9 people who you had a hand in voting out.
Yeah.
No, Jeff, that would be the 7 people they had a hand and mm-hmm. the 2 quitters. Now, right. I do like that he kept rubbing in. He kept digging in, you know, and here are the quitters, Nyanka and Kelly, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, they swung this. And I'm not saying Chase would have been a better winner. I'm just saying he would have been a different winner.
Right. And I'm curious, though, because that's a tough call. We could say yes, for sure. Then we know Chase wins because those votes are no longer there for Fabio. But who knows what dynamics could have changed in the jury itself, right? Because we know that they go back to Ponderosa. There are conversations that are had. People talk. And if Nyanka and Purple Kelly are not there, maybe those conversations are different. And maybe they're looking more at Sash as opposed to Chase. And maybe there's more discussions about those 3 that wouldn't have had occurred, but for Nyanka and Purple Kelly being there. I don't know, but it would have been a much interesting thing to see play out, because would he have won? Probably, but who knows?
Yeah, and I will get to that more when we get to Appendix B. I do have some information from, you know, the Jury Speaks videos and some articles at the time talking about who was leaning where.
Mm-hmm.
And those 2 came in allegedly open. And so, you know, I think, yeah, you take those 2 out and I think the other votes probably stay the same.
Well, as
we'll discuss. Yeah. You know.
And Nyanka's vote for Fabio, I'm still baffled about. So that doesn't make any sense to me either.
Well, we'll get there, but he made her cry, you know, and if you're going to make someone cry, that's all it takes. So
I know, but she like hated that dude. And then the other thing. I'm going to say dude as many times as I can during this podcast. Dude. The amount of times that he called Jeff Probst dude, that should be a drinking game. How many times does Fabio say, dude, take a shot? Because you're going to be wrecked in like 15 minutes with
well,
him
then it shouldn't
like, into
be a
the
drinking
show.
Game. Yeah, that makes
sense. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it'd be a really dangerous one to play. But yeah.
All right. Speaking of Purple Kelly, by the way, I did think it was really funny to hear her described as Purple Kelly, because those of us who watch so much Survivor and are in this community are trained to think of the word purple as meaning invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And so hearing her called that kind of messes with your brain.
Right.
Because it's like, wow, they are flat out calling her Invisible Kelly. How did they know?
I know.
And it's like, no, wait, you have to actually tell yourself, no, this was the origin of the term.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny because I had forgotten about that too, like how that even came to be. And then, right. Oh, well, she had purple in her hair. And then that was it. And it stuck. So yeah, she's definitely become a namesake, if you will, for the game of Survivor moving forward.
Yes. Well, or for not being shown in the game of Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, speaking of names, I thought it was funny that the opening credits in the first episode had Judd in them. But from the second episode on, they changed his name to Fabio in the opening credits. Of course, that was back in the day when they actually had opening credits.
I know. That makes me so sad.
And they changed them. Like when they got to the jury, they changed them. They showed who was in the jury, who was still in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best version of the credits they've ever had is you know, the fact that they actually did something. But they probably looked at that and said, that costs money. Never mind.
I know. And it's like 3.5 minutes of television time that we could designate to the game. But I will say, I honestly forgot that his real name was not Fabio. Yeah. Once I had completely forgotten. And I actually did meet him when I was in Florida. I met Purple Kelly as well at Hearts of Reality. And
you met her, but you just didn't see her.
She was rocking a Superman costume. I remember that. Okay. So, but Fabio was needed for a photo. They were going to do a picture of all of the winners, mm-hmm. and he was at the bar. So I had to go get Fabio from the bar to bring him in for the photo with the all of the winners. But I remember like calling to him and like, Fabio, you have to, like, it didn't even register to me that that's not his real name. And then when I was watching this season again, I realized that's not even, I completely had forgotten that his name is not Fabio, which is hysterical, really.
So he doesn't still go by Fabio?
People were calling him Fabio the entire time. So I think it's confused everyone who has watched the season of Survivor because they all think his name is Fabio. But I can say I definitely forgot that his name was Judd and not Fabio.
I think he looks more like a Fabio than a Judd.
Well, he seemed to really glom onto it. He loved it. He thought it was great. So, yeah, I mean, and then he was considering adding it as a middle name. I don't know if he ever did that, but.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. So he mentioned in one of his exit interviews that maybe it would be legally changed to Judd Fabio, whatever else his name is.
Okay. What is he up to these days other than Florida? You even know?
I'm not sure, but okay. I know there's been some rough things happening to Fabio just in the Reddit thread hole that I found myself going down. There's been an arrest or two. There's been some issues with Fabio. So I think the money got spent quickly. There was a lot of fun had, as he expressed he was interested in doing. And so I'm not sure where he is now, but I don't think he invested wisely.
I don't think anyone who watched it would have thought that he would have invested wisely.
Right. Yeah.
Except maybe helping out his mom and dad. You know.
And that's true. Maybe he did that. I don't know.
So that's what Fabio did with his money or didn't do. But there is one other thing. I mean, there may be more things you want to discuss, but there's one other more serious thing that I think we need to discuss. Speaking of going down rabbit holes, Rob mentioned it on the main countdown ranking podcast, but I want to expand on it. There was a rumor that Jane told the other jurors that Sash offered her some sort of payment or buying her something. One person reached out to us on Twitter and called it that he said he was going to pay her mortgage off, whatever, if he won, which, of course, is against the rules of Survivor. Sash denied it. But whether it was true or not, Jane basically poisoned the jury with claims like that, which might help explain why he got zero.
I know.
And it's probably related to a comment that Jane made when I interviewed her at the time. She said, because of what Sash did to me prior to me leaving the game, some of that wasn't shown on TV, so I can't discuss it, but the jury knows about it.
Hmm.
We don't know the whole story there. My personal suspicion is Jane probably misunderstood something Sash said. Because it just doesn't make sense for him to try to break the rules in order to buy one vote. I mean, if he thought that he was that close, maybe you want to try a little bit to nudge that one. But I mean, her mortgage couldn't have been cheap. You know, you're not offering her 10 grand.
Well, I'm curious because he was saying things like she was almost like a mother to him out on the island. And I don't know if maybe the conversation they had was one where he was explaining to her, you're like a mother to me out here and I want to take care of my mother. And I who knows if it developed into that.
Yeah, I know you have a big mortgage. That's not the same thing as saying I'll pay off your mortgage.
Right.
It's just, you know. So, yeah, we don't know exactly. I think that Sash is too much a by the book player to have done that. But no matter what, there had to be feelings. Bad feelings amongst the jury already present.
That was a bitter jury. That was bitter.
We'll get to that. but I mean, there had to be bad feelings about him for them to even believe it was a possibility.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't because like if Jane had said that about Fabio, everyone would have just laughed it off. No mm-hmm. one would have ever been like, ooh, that Fabio, we're not going to vote for him because he broke the rules.
Right.
So, you know, I don't think that he did it. I think it was a misunderstanding, but I think the jurors were already not happy with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I do think that there's a lot to be said about everyone's individual experiences with the person when they're on the island and then what they take into the jury discussions. Mm-hmm. And it's hard because you do have an opportunity in that moment to really destroy someone if you choose, because I'm not privy to everything that's happened with somebody right. else, and they're not privy to everything that's happened with me and this person over here. And to have someone introduce information that you do not have direct knowledge of, but then you take that information and you add it into your own beliefs and your own thoughts about this person and whether or not it could be true. And I think that that is such an emotional time for people because they're on, you know, the jury, they're at Ponderosa, they're still being kept away from the world. And all you're thinking is about this game. And I've got this huge decision to make and I've got to decide who I'm going to award $1 million. So all of that kind of feeds on each other. And I do think that it's a recipe for potential disaster, which I think we saw here. If that was what happened, if she walked into the jury space and started providing this information, everyone's going to then they're going to look at it and compare notes to their views of Sash. And I do right. think that it really negatively affected him greatly on that jury.
Yes. Although I think that I think he was sunk anyway for reasons that we will get to. But yeah, it certainly didn't help matters any.
Right.
Is there anything else about the season that you want to discuss?
I think I should get into my theory now because I think it will come up. I think it will come up through our discussions.
Okay.
Because there has been a lot of discussion already about, we talked about Purple Kelly and Nyanka, and I was very curious about recruits on this season.
Mm.
I was incredibly curious because I know Fabio was a recruit and I found that out almost immediately. He got like, I don't know, he was at like a McDonald's or something, some fast food restaurant, and he was discovered. And I started looking into that because I feel like anyone who's recruited to play Survivor plays the game differently. And I found out very quickly that Purple Kelly was a recruit. And Purple Kelly was advised by CBS not to talk about that in her exit press.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, well, Purple Kelly was a recruit. Clearly that one didn't work out so well for CBS because she basically got shunned on the show. And so I kept looking into that to see, were people cast? Did they apply? And from what I have learned, and please, if I am wrong about this, I would love to know, because like I said, it's the Reddit rabbit hole. It appears as if all of the younger tribe was full of recruits and that there were two people on the older tribe that were recruits, including Dan, who had never seen Survivor before, didn't even know what it was. Same thing with Purple Kelly. She'd never seen an episode of Survivor, never watched an episode, didn't know what the merge was. People were like talking to her about the merge and she's like, I don't know what this is, but everybody seemed excited about it. And that one of the people on the older tribe was also like he won like a Sears pick. I don't know. There was something through Sears where people got to choose who was going to be cast on Survivor. And
well, I remember that.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being this season, but I remember that.
It was definitely this season. And okay. Jimmy was the one that won. He won the Sears choice or whatever it was. Yeah.
Jimmy T.
Yes. So I guess it's one of those things where I look at this season and think maybe that's why it turned out so terribly bad, because you had so many individuals playing the game who honestly didn't care about Survivor or didn't care about all of the extras that come from Survivor. I think that when you put someone like an Adam Klein on this show, it plays out differently because that's someone who has real passion about this game and how it's played. And when you put people on this and say it's a reality TV show and they, one, don't know what to expect, don't know what they're getting themselves into, have never watched an episode, no wonder Nyanka and Kelly quit, because they had no idea that they were going to be in this type of situation, you know, in the elements like this. They didn't prepare themselves physically. They were just like, oh, I'm going to be on this reality TV show and I might win $1 million. That's great. So I really think it plays out so much differently when you have more than half the cast full of recruits and not people who are actually cast. I really think the best seasons of Survivor are full of the people who love Survivor, mm-hmm. are huge Survivor fans, and are part of that fandom who understand how the game works. So that's just my read on it. I could be completely wrong, but I do think that that had a huge effect on how this season played out and how the jury was so bitter and they didn't respect game moves. They didn't respect strategy because they didn't know that's what it was about. So that's my two cents.
Yeah, I think that we will hit on this more when we get to Appendix B and those discussions. But I definitely think that, you know, and even Sash had something to say about that. There's a quote that I have from him that we'll get to when we get there, where he doesn't quite call it out that way, but he says something about, in a different game with a different cast, we could have had a different outcome here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're absolutely right. I think that, I think this season is probably one of the reasons that they were able to move more towards fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that Jeff has learned, if he didn't know already, I mean, we don't know if it was Jeff or Mark Burnett or CBS themselves, but I think Jeff has learned that, okay, you might want to have one or two recruits for specific reasons, mm-hmm. but you can't have a whole group of them.
Yeah, it didn't work out so well.
No. So, all right. Anything else before we get to Fabio?
No, I'll get off my soapbox. And
oh, no, you're fine. It's a good soapbox. So Fabio began the season being called a dumb blonde, but ended it with $1 million check. Along the way, he certainly wasn't the most strategic player and often didn't even seem to know what was going on. How the heck does somebody like that ever win? After we both did a fresh rewatch of the season, and I also reviewed my older articles and interviews, it's now time to take a new look at why Fabio won. The first rule, and most important rule, says to scheme and plot. And yes, I still said it's the most important, even in a season where Fabio won. And his win immediately followed Russell's two losses, leading to some people saying at the time that the game had changed, that scheming and plotting should not be considered of primary importance anymore. Sash himself told me in an interview, if I would have played this exact game maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I'd have $1 million.
Mm.
And, you know, while some players who followed this rule took some serious bumps and bruises around this time, I never wavered in terms of it being of primary importance. And I think that's been borne out as seasons progressed. But we have to remember that there are 7 rules plus 2 appendices. You know, they're all there. Everything isn't completely based on the first rule. The version of the rules that was in place when this season originally aired. Now, remember, back then, it was even longer than it is now, and it had lots more examples and quotes and things. And this, it said, Russell's two losses show that you cannot completely ignore the social aspects of the game, and there are related rules here in favor of only following this one. It is indeed the most important one, as Russell's two trips to the finals help demonstrate, but his two losses show that there are other things you need to keep in mind as well. Sash's name was immediately added to the list right next to Russell twice. He made the final three, even after it looked like he was doomed, helping to demonstrate the importance of this rule. But there were other areas where he didn't do nearly as well. It seems fairly obvious that Sash should have won if the whole decision had been based on strategy. But as we mentioned, he got that many votes.
I know. And I really do. I go back to what I said before, that I think that there was not as much appreciation for strategy in this entire season. I think a lot of the decisions came from more of an emotional place, and that people were creating relationships and forming bonds and not understanding. As Sash tried to explain in the final tribal council, that friendship is one thing, gameplay is another. He really tried to divide that out for this jury, and they were not hearing it. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't like it. And so I do feel for someone like Sash, because he at least was playing Survivor. And he was trying to strategize, and he was forming relationships and finding alliances and working his way into potential groups all over, really. He was keeping his options open. Someone like Fabio really was kind of just floating around and half the time didn't know where the votes were going, who was going to be voted out. And most of the time too, didn't even really like seem to add much to the discussion other than, well, it's not me and I'm just going to keep playing dumb kind of thing, which that's a strategy in and of itself for sure. And that's what he acknowledged to be his strategy was, I'm just going to play the dumb guy and not really do much until the end. So if that was his strategy, he pulled it off and he did it exceptionally well, because that's what everyone remembers of Fabio. But it certainly wasn't game strategy. It was more of a representation of himself kind of strategy. And it's a little bit different. He knew how he would be perceived. He knew how he showed himself to the world, and he utilized that as part of his gameplay.
Yeah. I mean, getting back to Sash, I will have more to say about what you just said about how he tried to tell the jury split those two things apart, because he is not blameless there.
Oh, he's not. No.
You know, even Holly said, I thought strategically, telling this to me at the time, I thought strategically when you watch the whole season, Sash played a great game. He was making alliances. He was cool. He was calm. Sash was all over. Strategically, he probably didn't make a lot of friends, but he was playing the game, and that's what counts. Now, I found it funny that she said that because, well, it's what counts for this rule, but she didn't vote for him. So right. Clearly that wasn't what counted.
Right.
Marty, who, of course, also didn't vote for Sash, said on Twitter at the time that he totally respected Sash's strategic game and thought Brenda and Sash were the smartest out there. So again, he won the battle, for this rule. But he didn't win the war for the votes.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Fabio, and yeah, it, you know, his strategy was, as you said, it was. And, you know, we could say he didn't do any scheming and plotting, and he didn't do any, certainly, of the type we would normally associate with this rule. But there were a few other things he was doing. Like you mentioned, playing dumb. Mm-hmm. He told me in my post-game interview with him that everyone's strategy is to play under the radar, but the real strategy is in how you do it, and it comes down to knowing how others perceive you, which is a much deeper thought than I ever expected to get out of him.
Oh, for sure. Yes. He also said at one point in one of his, I think one of his confessionals, that he had, I had written it down. I wish I had it in front of me, but it was something along the lines of that he's going to play with whatever pieces are put before him.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's interesting as well, because I do think that he was spending a lot of time realizing who he was playing this game with and getting a read on people. And he talked about this at the reunion as well, learning about them and understanding them, and also very self-aware, and kind of combined those two things. So I don't discount what he was doing as strategic, but yes, it was just a different type of strategy. And yeah, much deeper than I think most people want to give him credit for having the ability to really delve into that and really think that this was not just a, I'm just going to go out there and play and have fun. It really was owning himself and also paying attention to what was around him.
Yeah. Another thing he told me was that a few times, even when he was on the opposite side of the vote. So, you know, we said, oh, he didn't know which way the vote was going. And Chase said the same thing in the final tribal council. He said he knew what was going to happen, but it allowed him to have clean hands, such as the Marty vote. Specifically, he said, when we would come up with a plan, I usually knew. I would always calculate the possible outcomes and how good it would be for me or other people and who's left that might want to form a new alliance if it came down to it. They didn't even show me as being the swing vote, but I remember when we saved Benry, when we did get Brenda off, I talked to Sash and Chase and made sure they, if they ditched Brenda, that we'd have a strong alliance as well, and they had options. I knew what was going on. Now, again, was he, you know, puffing himself up after the fact? I don't know. It's much deeper and more thoughtful than I ever expected from him.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe that was all going on while he was playing dumb.
It's also very dangerous, too, if you think about
it. Oh, yeah.
To take that type of leap and hope that people will understand that, no, I wasn't on the wrong side of the votes. I always knew what was going on. We didn't see any of that really explained in the final tribal council. And who knows if it ended up on the cutting room floor? I don't know. But that would have been an interesting thing for him to, if he did own it, mm-hmm. are they going to have a different perception of him in that final tribal? Because all of a sudden, he's not that goofy, likable guy that made everybody smile and laugh and cry at the end. He's actually a cunning person who is utilizing their relationships in order to make determinations about how to vote, because he wants them to still like them in the end. So that is a very, very like deep thought to have in the game. And to figure it out, if that's what he was doing, is pretty incredible, because that's one of the craziest parts about Survivor, right? You have to vote people out and still get them to vote you to win $1 million. And he figured out a way to do that, if that's what he was actually doing throughout the game.
Yeah, I think that he was better off not saying anything. Because like you said, if he comes out and says, oh, I actually knew what was going on the whole time, it was part of my cunning plan, you know, you're right. I think that changes their perception of him completely. Well, either they're just like, they just laugh it off and be like, ah, sure, Fabio, whatever. Or, yeah, they say, well, wait a minute, you were just as evil as Sash.
Right.
You know, so.
And again, that goes back to what he said about the pieces around him and his read of people. I think that he saw that this was, I feel like this was such an extreme group of people. And I go back to my recruits being part of the reason for it.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about characters. There were some serious characters this season. I mean, people that would say things that my jaw was on the floor, and we're in episode one. I'm like, did that person really just say what he just said? It was shocking.
Yeah, Shannon did say that.
Shannon did say that. So I do feel like that he got the read on that very, very early on, that these were some very extreme people who had extreme views, who had very strong personalities. And he is someone who came across the same way. So I do think that that was probably the best way for him to handle the situation, because I think he carried it all the way through the game, knowing that when they're sitting on the jury, they're going to have those same personalities. And they did.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, Fabio said, what was it in episode 9 when Benry told him to play dumb? He said, I hate playing stupid so much, but it's the smartest thing to do. And it was. You know, and then later on in episode 14, he said he thought the others believed that he was more gullible and naive than he really was, and they were going to be surprised to see how smart he was. So, you know, and he did make some smart decisions. You know, he knew not to take Holly to the end because she was too much of a threat to win, which he understood, while Sash and Chase did not. Sash and Chase were perfectly happy to take Holly to the end.
Right.
Now, they would have lost to Holly instead of losing to Fabio. But, you know, I mean, they didn't see it. He did. And he claimed also that in the final four tribal council, he played Sash and Chase against each other, so the jury would know that, or would see that he knew what was going on.
I will say he gained a lot of points in that tribal council. Like that was a great use of a tribal council for him to really call other people out, and it be before we get to the final tribal council, because then you give the jury a time to like really think about stuff, right? They're not hearing it immediately in that final tribal council. They're hearing it, they're going back, they're processing it, and they're talking about it. I was very impressed with him in that tribal, because I do think that that turned a lot of wheels in the minds of the jurors with everything that he put on display there.
Yeah. Now, as for Chase, well, he mentioned a number of times he didn't like that whole lying part of the game. He told me that before he went in, he told his mom that he could do it. But once he was there, quote, I realized I don't like to do that even for $1 million. That's just my character. I don't like lying in real life. And even out there, it drove me crazy. Still, he did at least make alliances, which helped him get to the end.
Yes.
It's, you know, it's just that, well, we'll talk about that a little bit. We'll talk about him a little bit more in the second rule, I think. But before we get to that, I do want to point out, even though we've talked about and we've given Fabio some credit for being on, you know, knowing which way the wind was blowing or pretending not to, whatever, we do have to mention that two members of the alliance working against him quit the game.
Yeah.
And he benefited from them leaving. Sash did not benefit from them leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not something he made happen. That was just kind of a luck fell into his lap situation.
Yeah.
And I do think we need to remember that, that, you know, that's whatever he was doing might not have worked out the same way if those two had stuck around.
Right. But Nyanka voted for Fabio.
Well, both of them did.
I know. So it's one of those.
I know. But at the time in the game, they were not together. So.
No, but it definitely is. It's very strange to think about the effects of that, the ripple effect that mm-hmm. had. And I do think that Sash was able to kind of figure out what to do in response to that. Fabio, again, I think did a lot of what Fabio does, and that's rework the room. Who's left and what do I need to do? And it's an interesting strategy that we've talked about already, but yes, I do think that was something that he ended up handling. It worked to his benefit for sure.
Yeah, I think if those two stick around, he is not our winner.
Mm.
I think that because they would have had to have, you know, another couple tribal councils there to vote.
Right.
And this was before he went on his immunity run, and I think they would have gotten rid of him.
Well, everybody wanted to. They kept trying.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, moving on to the second rule, it says not to scheme and plot too much. And of course, to keep your scheming secret. Obviously, Fabio didn't have a problem here because, well, he didn't scheme and plot too much. He even said at Final Tribal Council that he hadn't backstabbed anyone. Mm-hmm. And you know, that was a very important factor in the votes because no matter what the jury might have thought about Fabio's strategic game or lack thereof, they knew one thing, and that was that they were angry at both Sash and Chase.
Yes.
Because of this aspect of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And this was something that I think Fabio did so well, both throughout the game, but then also in that final tribal, is that he knew sitting next to Sash and Chase that there were going to be people on that jury that were going to be very upset with them mm-hmm. for very particular reasons. And we know this because he said prior to, I didn't backstab anybody on that jury. So this, again, was part of his strategy, being that likable guy that everybody can get along with. And we've talked about this quite a bit in all of these podcasts that we do, that when a jury is making a decision, if it really comes down to it, they're going to vote for the person they just like more. That's what happens. If they don't like someone, even if they've got a great game, the likelihood of them voting for them is slim. And we've seen it happen time and time again. And Russell
especially with recruits.
Yes. And that's part of the whole issue with recruits. They don't understand that someone should be given credit for playing this game that is an incredibly difficult game and making it all the way to the end and strategizing the whole way through, as opposed to someone who's just really likable and funny and made me laugh, and someone who wasn't mean to me in the game and didn't backstab me. If he never backstabbed anyone, well, that means his strategy was not really about Survivor, right? Like, because that's right. Part of what Survivor is that you have to backstab, you lie to people, you've got to scheme and plot, all of those things. He's clearly not doing any of it because no one's upset with him for any of the game moves that he made because he didn't make any.
Yeah. Yeah. So he did great for the second rule in that regard.
Wonderful. He did wonderful.
Now we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
We're back, so let's get back to the show.
Now, moving on to Sash, he was a free agent for much of the post-merge game and made a lot of side deals to stick around, but if each of those people really did believe him, and they all later realized they'd been double crossed because they were not his, you know, number one or whatever, that doesn't lead to a good result. He seemed to be basically trying to use the Brian Heidick strategy, which I discussed. I mean, we've talked about it before, but I discussed more recently on the Thailand ranking podcast with Rob, except that people talked to each other about Sasha's promises, and he didn't have someone even less likable against him at the end. He ended up being the least likable of the three.
Yeah. And I do feel bad for him because, I mean, really, when you watch the season again, I probably missed it the first time because I'm watching it differently, obviously, on the rewatch. But Sash really knew what was happening and he knew how to wheel and deal. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that got turned into like a used car salesman kind of thing in the final tribal. But he was actually playing the game. For someone who was potentially a recruit, he understood still how the game
worked. Yeah, I don't think he was a recruit.
But that's what I'm saying. That's what the Reddit thread said, is that everybody on the other side was. Or
he could have been a recruit like Stephen Fishbeck was a recruit.
Very possible.
Who already knew the game.
Right. And that's what I'm curious about, because he seemed to understand that aspect of it so much more than anyone else. And so I think for him, it was almost like no matter what he said in that final tribal, it wasn't going to matter because people were so caught up in the game that he was playing and they didn't appreciate the way he had to play it in order for him to get to the final three, instead of it being the other way around. Like, oh, I appreciate the fact that you played this game so well and it got you here. Instead, they felt like they'd been, you know, stepped on and pushed aside and lied to, and they were really, really upset by it, instead of respecting the way that he played the game, like a lot of people do when they understand the game.
Yeah. To be fair, they had been stepped on and pushed aside.
Oh, for sure.
You know, he double crossed a lot of people. I mean, Dan said in the game that people didn't trust Sash after what he did to Brenda and Marty, who were two of his allies.
Mm-hmm.
Holly told me that Sash was all over and she saw through him when he would lie about what he was talking about with other people. And I think one problem, and I do believe Rob mentioned this on his podcast, was that Sash didn't just make alliances, but he made it seem like more than that. So he brought the outside world in. And I don't mean this allegation that he, you know, was going to pay something off for Jane. I mean more like you've discussed already, telling Jane she was like his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Asking Chase to swear on his dad, which Chase was like, no. But so he brought in these things to kind of try and make that bond better. But then he gets to Final Tribal Council and says what you talked about. It was all strategy. Alliances, and including breaking alliances, they're all part of the game, but the friendships were real. Well, in theory, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
But he was the one who commingled alliances and friendships. So you can't back out of it at the end. You can't say, I'm making this alliance with you because we're friends, and then later go back and say, well, the friendship part was real, but the alliance part wasn't. No.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great point, because I do think that it's a very slippery slope that you start to head down when you do start commingling those things. And I do think that it's a hard thing for any juror to separate, because if they're looking at it like, you told me to swear on my family, and then this is what you did. And I do think that there were opportunities that Sash missed where he could have gained favor and he could have really shown that he did care about someone. Like, you know, he had an immunity idol he didn't use on Brenda. And that's something that I think he could have pointed to and said, well, look at that. You know, that was, I saved the person who was closest to me out here, and I risked myself to do that. But he didn't have a chance to say any of that because he didn't do any of that. So right. I do think that he got very caught up in the game side of it, not realizing that there is an emotional component, that if you aren't able to find that line and understand how to straddle it, then yes, you're going to end up with very bitter jurors who are then mad at you because you've made it too personal as opposed to just game.
Yeah. Now, going to what you just mentioned, the immunity idol thing, I can't remember if she mentioned it in the reunion or in her interview with me, but she said she never expected him to do that because she had tried to backstab him and vote him out earlier. And Nyanka, I think it was Nyanka, had told on her. And so, she knew that she was not getting not getting that idol and that she was getting voted out.
She seemed to accept it.
Yeah, well, she accepted it too much. That was,
I know.
That makes me think it was the reunion, because I think Jeff Probst hammered her and was like, then why didn't you try harder?
Yeah. Right. But, yeah, just like he's telling him at tribal council what to do. Like, hey, by the way, the three of you over here.
Well, and one of those times, just to take a brief tangent, and Rob hit on this a little bit, but as I was watching it, he's like, well, if you guys know that they're voting for Jane, why don't you vote for this person? And then you can change it. Hey, dummy Jeff, because Dan signs his death warrant if he does that, because it creates a tie when Dan is the only person who is vulnerable.
Right.
There's not even a rock draw. Dan is it.
Mm-hmm.
Because two people had immunity. Immunity idols. One person won immunity and two people would have been immune because they were voted against.
Right. But do you think
Dan's not going to change that vote?
But did Dan really work through that?
No, I don't think so at all. But Jeff should not have been encouraging that.
I don't know. Jeff likes drama. That would have been very dramatic.
Yeah, but then he'd have had to get the chalkboard out. And
I know,
what
and
just
do
happened,
the thing like he did before. Yeah, or after.
Yeah,
came after. Mm-hmm.
So I think Jeff didn't realize it as he was saying it.
Yeah, probably not. Well, because I think a lot of people were probably sitting there looking at the numbers and going, well, there is three over here and there's three over there. And if you don't understand all the nuances of the game, you would have no idea that that's the end result.
Right.
But if you are someone that understands the game, you might go through the computations and go, no, that's not to my benefit. But yeah, it's interesting that Jeff went down that path at all, because he never gets himself so directly involved in tribal council, like telling people what to do, like, hey, vote for this person.
Yeah. Why are you not voting for that person?
Right. It's crazy.
I'd be like, Jeff, shut up. So anyway, that was a brief tangent there. But getting back to the second rule here and finally to Chase. I don't think so. Chase had his problems with this rule, but different from Sash. He wasn't intentionally backstabbing people the way he was. He was just so damned wishy-washy, as many people pointed out. Brenda called him a worrywart, paranoid, like a little baby. Nyanka said his paranoia was getting to be too much and his own allies were sick of him. Jeff Probst began the episode 414 recap by saying Chase had been a portrait of indecision. I like that term. When I did post-game interviews, I had both Dan and Holly on the phone at the same time. And that was just the way the interviews were done. Holly was talking to me about voting for Chase, and Dan was making some dismissive noises when she said that. And when I asked him why, he said, Chase was all over the court. You didn't know which way the wind was going to blow with that guy. You couldn't trust him. Look at what he did to Jane.
Yeah.
And, you know, Rob talked on the podcast about how Chase would just tell whoever he was talking to, whatever he thought they wanted to hear, and that this led to a lot of trouble. It wasn't that he was intentionally lying about, for example, who he was going to take on reward. It was that he told everyone that he would take them because he didn't want to tell them otherwise.
Yeah, he didn't want to hurt people's feelings. And by not wanting to hurt their feelings, he ended up hurting their feelings even more.
Right. But, you know, what this reminded me of was an old boss of mine who was similar. In one case, for example, I asked him what he thought about me possibly getting a promotion into a position that was going to open up. And what he told me was he thought that I would be great in that position, which sounds like a pretty good endorsement from the head of your area.
For sure.
Okay. Well, then talking to other people, I found out he had said basically the same thing to at least two other people because he just didn't want to upset anyone.
Right. Yeah, well, and that's Chase, 100%.
Exactly.
That's Chase.
Yeah. You know, and that wasn't the only case where something like this happened with this boss. And similarly, you know, with Chase, they would try to make everyone happy when they were talking to them, but not realizing that you're just pushing off the point where they're going to be unhappy.
Right. Because then people are all going to talk and they're going to realize that, well, he said the same thing to me. And he said the same thing to me, too.
Right.
And then, yeah, they end up getting frustrated with him, even though he thinks that he's being nice at the time because he's not hurting anyone's feelings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was Chase. It's a different way to break the second rule than we usually see.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So All right, moving on to the third. It talks about being flexible. So how do you think Fabio did in terms of being flexible?
Well, I think he actually did very well because he, like I said before, had a willingness to really kind of ebb and flow, like whatever was happening, he was kind of responding to in a way. And as you've already talked about in some of his press, where he would know, okay, well, if this person's going to go home, then who should I actually vote for in order to better? So I think he was always willing to take a look at the big picture and try to make a determination as to what was best. So I think he did very well in not locking himself into any one thing and still trying to figure out what was happening at the same time. Like I thought it was interesting when he was calling everybody out at the very end with, was I going to go with you to the final three? Like, were you being truthful with me in regards to that? So I would give him credit for trying to be flexible, but also he didn't really find himself locked into any one particular group either.
Right.
So that allowed him a lot more flexibility because he wasn't like tied at the hip like so many of these people on the season seem to be. And I think that's where a lot of the hurt feelings came from, is that you had people who felt like they were really, really close to someone. I don't think anybody felt like they were really, really close to Fabio. And so I think that gave him more of an ability to kind of maneuver himself through all of the various votes, because there wasn't one person that really locked themselves to him, and he didn't do the same to anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. I think his laid back style was perfect for this rule. Mm-hmm. He could move around as necessary and nobody seemed to hold it against him. I mean, even in the early going, when he voted wrong, he was never made into an outcast like Kelly B and Alina were. Like, right. I mean, they were like, oh, they're going to be the next ones voted out. And, you know, part of it was they, you know, the tribe said, well, we need Fabio for his strength. But part of it was, it's Fabio. You
right.
know, he just kind of floated into the next group. Now, how much was intentional, maybe debatable, but he accomplished the goal.
Right.
So we've already discussed Chase and how wishy-washy he was, which is not the same as flexible, even though he kept going in different directions. And then similarly, Sash was flexible in terms of going where he needed to go in order to make it to the end.
Right.
The problem for both of them was that it came back to bite them in terms of the second rule that we just discussed.
Right. 100%.
So we could go to the fourth rule, which tells players not to let their emotions control them. Of the final three, I think only one suffered under this rule, and that, of course, was Chase.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda said flat out that he didn't make smart moves. He made emotional moves, which takes us back to him telling people what they wanted to hear. For one example, one perfect example, we don't even have to look at a voting situation. There was the reward challenge in episode 9. Okay. This was, so they were already merged, but there was a random draw, and the random draw put guys against the girls.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. With him being the odd man out.
Right.
Okay. Looking at it, you could see this is going to be a hugely physical challenge. They had to run through walls of sticks and bricks. It was like the Big Bad Wolf or something.
It really was.
Little piggies. It really was. Something. But so he's asked by Jeff, who are you going to pick as your winning team? And then you get to go along with them. And he picked the women.
I know.
And it's like everybody thought he was crazy, but he went with his emotions because he liked the people who were on that team. There was Jane, there was Holly, there was
right.
Brenda.
Right.
And so he picked them. And it's like you lost out on a reward because of your emotions.
Yeah. And I think that this, it really highlights the struggle that he had with being public. I think about a lot of things where he's kind of put on the spot in that moment. Right. And just like every other time where if he's won a reward and he has to pick someone, he's put on the spot. And I think one of the times that he had to do this too, he told Holly, he's like, I wish you had whispered in my ear and told me to take Sash when there was another mm-hmm. issue about a reward challenge. And I think he struggles in the moment instead of looking at it like, okay, I have to do this the same way I would play the game. I'm on blast right now and everyone's looking at me and I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And so it's more of the same where he ends up kind of responding because he doesn't want to hurt people's feelings instead of taking a step back and thinking and processing through what's going to be the best thing here. And also remembering what he has said previously, like, oh, yeah. I've promised X, Y, and Z that I'm going to take them all on this reward. And then spur of the moment, all of a sudden, here he is, he's got to make this decision. And he never handles it very well.
No, he didn't. Yeah, I don't think Fabio or Sash allowed their emotions to control them, though in weirdly opposite ways. Sash didn't do it because he was Mr. Strategy and he was in game bot mode. And Fabio didn't do it because, well, the whole game was a fun time and everyone liked him anyway. So,
And I think it's worth mentioning here, as far as Fabio is concerned, Naoka took his socks, right? Like right at the beginning, like she lost her socks. So she took Fabio's socks. Fabio should have lost his stuff mind at that point. I mean, because it was the craziest conversation I think I've ever seen, where he's trying to figure out where the socks came from and she immediately is aggressive and angry. Yeah. And he's
like,
why are
you looking at me that way?
Yeah. And it's like, you're wearing my socks. Like you literally took my stuff. And he didn't lose it. He didn't get all, like emotional about it. It was just kind of like, okay, well, I guess she has my socks now. But I think he was responding to the situation, right? We're like, okay, she's clearly angry. I'm just going to let it be because it's not worth it in the grand scheme of things. So I think that was a good reflection of how he was able to really like keep his emotions in check. Cause that I think would have been a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how he did that personally, you know, with her, but he managed. So anyway, we can move on to the fifth rule, which talks about the social game and reminds players they need to pretend to be nice. Here, of course, is where Fabio excelled and Sash crashed and burned. With Chase being more on the Sash side of things. In the first rule, we talked about how Sash would have won if scheming and plotting had been the only thing that mattered. But Survivor is both a strategic and social game, and Sash failed completely in the latter, in part because of some things we already mentioned. He didn't really connect with people, but he pretended to connect with them in the game and then tossed them aside.
And I think Sash and Chase are so interesting in this particular rule because you have Sash who is pretending to connect with people and then tossing them aside. And then Chase, who I think is genuinely connecting with people and then having to toss them to the side and not understanding the nuances of it all. So they really are on opposite ends of the spectrum as far as their response to this particular rule. And like you said, Fabio didn't struggle here at all because this wasn't something that he needed. I hate to say needed to struggle with, but he knew that Sash and Chase were creating these bonds with people and these relationships and these, you know, fake relationships, you know, some of the things that Sash had going on. And I think Fabio saw that. And so he really utilized that to his benefit in that final tribal council for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, for Fabio, his strategy, which we sort of already discussed, was to be in the open, making people laugh, you know, and he wanted to be around to, you know, be kept around for morale purposes, basically. And he said his whole plan was to be friends with everybody. And I think for the most part, he succeeded, maybe with Nayaka's one non-success. Holly told me Fabio didn't upset anyone, and I guess that's what counts in this game. He never turned on anyone. Now, again, Holly told me about Sash that he was strategic, and that's what counts. So, you know, in her mind, a lot of different things counted. But, you know, in most seasons of Survivor, just being friendly, I don't think would be as much of an impact.
Yes. I mean, it's the perfect mix, really,
right?
Because you are with people who have offended individuals so deeply and you're such a bitter jury that it really, really just elevated him because no one was mad at him and nobody had an axe to grind with Fabio. And they were almost dismissive of Fabio in a way in that final tribal council because nobody could attack him. Everybody wanted to attack Sash. Everybody wanted to attack Chase. And then you get to Fabio and you're like, well, you didn't burn any bridges with me. Yeah. So good for him.
Yeah. And, you know, normally in a normal season, if you get to the end and the jurors like you more, you may have a leg up.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to be like an automatic win for you, because juries usually want to see evidence of a specific strategy to show that you were doing something in the game. You were controlling the game. Not back in Nicaragua, though, and not up against Sash and Chase.
No.
You know, up against those two, Fabio just being a nice guy was magnified in importance hugely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Now, getting back to Chase, now you mentioned him briefly, but I do want to say there's something that isn't exactly part of the social game, but this is the best place I could think of to put it. Several players didn't exactly have the highest opinion of Chase's intellectual capabilities. Dan said in the final tribal council comments, beauty fades, dumb is forever.
Mm-hmm.
Marty similarly made fun of Chase. Now, I thought this was hysterical, by the way, but he said Sash was a cerebral player. And then he stopped and said, Chase, that means smart.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in both of these cases, and there were some other comments too, it may not relate directly to the social game. But you don't generally call people dumb if you like them a lot.
Yeah. Oh, and I don't disagree with that either. And I think that Chase probably spent more time creating close bonds with some of the women that were on the tribes with him. And I think that we saw that when he made that decision about who to pick in that particular challenge. And so by doing that, he maybe alienated himself a little bit from some of the men that were out there as well. Because it is an interesting dynamic to see the North Carolina, you know, that whole relationship and how that really a light was shown on that somehow that made that relationship stronger than anything else because of that North Carolina connection that he had with Jane. And I do think that people pay attention to that, and they certainly paid attention to it here. And also probably thought that he could be easily played and manipulated because of those relationships. So I think it fed into that idea that he's not necessarily a smart guy because he's letting his emotions make these decisions for him.
Right. Right. Exactly. All right. We move into the sixth rule, which warns against being too much of a threat. And people did eventually recognize that Fabio was just that. But by the time they did, he won the last three immunity challenges and didn't give them a chance to get rid of him. He was able to stay under the radar because although he won the first individual immunity challenge, he really didn't seem to be viewed as a big challenge threat. And obviously he wasn't a strategic threat. Sash admitted to me that he underestimated Fabio, saying, I've been watching for 20 seasons. So there's your recruit. I've been watching for 20 seasons and thought I knew all the twists and turns and all the strategies. He showed a strategy I'd never seen before. He played a really great game. I never saw it coming. Now, Sash may have just been pretending to be nice and calling it a really great game. If so, he pretended to be nice in interviews better than he did in the game. But, you know, Fabio himself also told me that he thought everyone underestimated him. And even in the finale, he said he had to play things cool and couldn't let on that he was playing the game. He also said that he always knew he would wait until the end to be aggressive and just follow along with everyone before that. Now, I certainly don't advocate expecting to win the last several immunity challenges, but it did work for him.
Yeah. Well, and I thought it was interesting, too, because in leading up to those final three immunity challenges, there was a lot of talk of him being a threat because they wanted to vote Fabio out. So I could only surmise that his threat came from his ability to win immunity challenges because they were very concerned. And Sash was one in particular having conversations about who could accidentally end up in like the final four. Because I think Jane was more of a concern in that regard.
Right. But
so I think people were mindful of that. That he could win. And that's the only association I really could come up with as far as the use of the term threat was that if he just keeps winning these immunity challenges, he could just accidentally end up there and take a spot away from one of us. So I think that's where the threat really came from. And it wasn't that they looked at him and thought, well, he's going to blow the jury away and he's going to potentially beat us, even though they talked about him beating them. So I'm curious if it was more of a recognition that he could just win these immunity challenges and then he's sitting there with us, as opposed to, I think he could actually beat us in front of the jury.
I think it probably was the immunity challenges, but who saw it coming that someone would win three in a row, first of all? And also, they always had someone else who was, you know, quote unquote, more of a threat.
Right.
If they needed to get out. So, yeah, we can just we can leave him till later. Then, you know, was it Holly or Jane? They were talking about voting someone out, and it wasn't Fabio, but one of the two of them said, well, what if he wins the last three or four immunity challenges and ends up at the end? And you know, they were poo-pooed, like, oh, that could never happen.
Right.
Now, like I said, it wasn't Fabio they were talking about, but
But it's something you have to consider. And you know, we've talked about this a lot, where there are certain players that will all of a sudden accidentally end up in the final three because nobody spends any time really talking about them or focusing on them, because there is that idea, well, we can take care of him next time, or we can get her out later. And then all of a sudden you get to the final trial, you're like, wait, what happened? How did this end up happening? And I do think people were very dismissive of him, probably because of the way he presented himself. And then when they started looking at challenges as being a potential, you know, reason that could get him to the end as opposed to his gameplay, well, then people started talking about Fabio. Nobody talked about Fabio until they really got down to the nitty gritty.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it is interesting because in this season, they were talking about voting out threats way earlier than in most. Like they were talking about the other Kelly. Getting rid of her because of her prosthetic leg. And they were like, well, if she gets to the end, she's going to beat us all with her story.
Right.
So they had to get rid of her early. And, you know, there were several other people like that early on that they were like, oh, well, we can't let that person get to the end.
Yeah.
And then it was funny, I thought, or ironic, that Brenda was one of the biggest people promoting that. And then she fell victim to it, you know, way earlier than I would have expected Brenda to get voted out.
Yeah, no, and that was a surprise as well.
And so there were so many of these people that were voted out early because they were supposedly such a threat. And then you let Fabio get to the end because they just didn't see him that way until it was too late.
Right. Yeah. And I do think that can certainly skew the way that the votes are going to go. If you are so worried about the end result, you might miss what's actually happening right before your eyes. Like, what do we need to deal with right now? And I do think that there are people that they could have dealt with later. They could have let them stick around longer. And because there were people that did have such impactful relationships with other people who were out there, that this is why, you know, maybe they should have paid a little more attention to Fabio, because Fabio didn't have such impactful relationships. I mean, it's a good thing to know when you're going into Final Tribal that I know that person on the jury really doesn't like this person. Now, that would have been Nyanka, as far as I'm concerned, in relationship to Fabio. Like, I would have been looking at that thinking, well, she's never going to vote for Fabio. And then she did. Just like kind of giving Chase her immunity idol. That doesn't make any sense to me either. Like, I don't know where she's coming from. She despises this person this second, and the next second she's voting for them to get $1 million. Very, very strange. But unfortunately, I don't think enough people really thought about that in relationship to Fabio. Maybe they were focusing more on just the person with the best story. You know, like Jane has a great story and Kelly has a great story. And sometimes, yes, that can certainly come into play. But also, you got to look at who you're going to be sitting next to. And if this guy hasn't pissed anybody off, to be completely honest, well, then maybe he's someone we should be looking at, too.
Well, and that's, you know, throughout the game, Dan kept saying, oh, nobody's ever going to give me $1 million. I have money, whatever, you know. And so they kept bringing him along. But Dan said, I think he said at the reunion, or else, again, in interviews with me, he said, no, I actually think I had a good chance to win. If I had been in Fabio's spot, I didn't piss anybody off. I didn't backstab anybody.
Right. Yeah.
That might have been enough to swing one vote over to, you know, one more vote over to Chase. We can't say for sure. But at least Dan thought, I could have won the game.
Well, and that's why I think it goes back to this particular group of people and this cast. When the relationships seem to be so significant and who you upset seemed to be so significant. And it was just, it was so painful to watch that Final Tribal and how brutal they were to Sash. And I get it. I understand they don't appreciate the strategy component of his game. But this was a very dynamic group of people who had very, very strong feelings. And the fact that Fabio picked up on that, if he really did, as he claims that he did, and utilized it as part of his game, kudos to him, because this is a tough group, I think, on a whole, to really win over. And I think that we saw that happen in this final result. So, Dan, I think there's some, there's definitely a chance that that could have happened, because you just had such a bitter group of people sitting there.
Right. And I mean, it was the perfect group for Fabio's under the radar plan.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, just stay under the radar. So moving on to the seventh rule, it covers idols and advantages, and there wasn't really much to be said about those in this season. Sash did get Marty to give him the idol. You mentioned Chase got the idol from Nyanka. And then both Sash and Chase, well, I mean, they didn't use them, but people were afraid to go against them because they knew they had one.
Right.
Yeah, and I think in a later season, people would have figured it out. I mean, there was talk of blindsiding the person with the idol, but nobody ever did it.
Right. Well, here's my thought, though, on and I know that this is not about, it's not about Chase and it's not about Sash, but there is an interesting thing that I noticed about idol play in this particular season. When they decided not to vote out Marty because he had the immunity idol, and Sash convinced him, give it to me and then I'll give it back to you. So why not still just take Marty out when you know that, because if he's got, so he says he's not going to play the idol if you keep him in the game, right? They could have voted him out anyway, because he didn't give it to Sash, did he? I'm trying to remember if he gave it to Sash.
He did give it to Sash.
So he gave it to Sash, but didn't Sash give it back to him afterwards? No. Okay.
No, the deal was, I will give it back to you at the next vote if you are going to be a target. And that is why they wanted to target him. But Sash worked with everybody to say, no, no, don't target him, because that way I can stand by my word and not give him the idol back.
Right. But I feel like it's one of those things where you could have still just, knowing that that's a thing, you know, knowing that there's this potential deal where he might get the immunity idol back, I don't know, vote him out anyway.
They could have, but Sash didn't want them to, because he's like, oh, I don't want to. The funny thing that was in that he said was, I don't want to break my word so early. Which should have been a tip off to everybody. Like, wait, what do you mean so early? He didn't say, I don't want to break my word. He said, I don't want to break my word so early.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think he saw Marty as a potential ally, and others saw Marty as a potential Sash ally, which is why they were, you know, which is why that was brought up against Sash when he ended up voting out Marty and then Brenda.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
So, yeah, so, you know, but as far as the idols, I don't think there was anything particularly noteworthy from any of our three finalists when it came to that.
No, not really. I mean, they one of them had one at one point.
Yeah. Well, two of them had them at one point.
Oh, yes, that's true.
So, and they both went, you know.
But the fact that Nyanka gave it to Chase.
Yeah.
Like, still, I was baffled. I'm like, wait.
Well, remember, Chase was the one who huddled with her, convinced her to stay in the game at first.
I know.
Tried to keep her spirits up.
But she was throwing him under the bus every time she could. She's like, he is the most untrustworthy person out here, because he was telling everybody everything that was going on. She was the one that was throwing him under the bus more than anybody. And then she's like, oh, here, I'm going to quit the game. Have my immunity. I know.
Nyanka was a complicated woman.
She definitely was a complicated woman. And I feel like they gave Kelly the purple edit because they were frustrated with her. And I feel like they were like, well, we can't do that with Nyanka.
No, we can't. She's just
Wealth of material that we can utilize for this season.
Yeah, Nyanka, it was interesting. At the beginning, I was like, oh, I remember why I can't stand this person. But then she got better for a while.
She did.
She got better. And I was like, oh. Okay, I didn't remember her getting better. This is very nice to see. And then she got worse again. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, okay. Again, yeah. I remember. So yeah, she was a complex person there.
But she was in such a great place in the game.
She was.
Despite all of that, despite all of the arguments that she was starting or having with various people and the sock stealing, she was still in a great place.
Well, she was in a really great place because everybody wanted to take her along.
I know.
They thought they could use everything against her.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they could have. We don't know. I mean, but.
Yeah.
So,
it's crazy.
Yeah. All right. Going off from that tangent, moving to.
Sorry.
No. It's, you know,
and like you said, she's a wealth of material. Mm-hmm. Appendix A is about the rest of the tribe keeping in mind their end goals when voting. And of course, says to vote out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. Which, by the way, is, of course, on that checklist T-shirt and mug. It talks about the weak and strong and weak and strong. And so that, to me, just made me love that particular design that the designer came up with. Because something, you know, Rob always used to make fun of the weak and the strong and the weak and the strong. But now there are items in the Rob Has a Podcast store that talk about that. So
it's good.
I just love that. But anyway, as far as the players here, I think they generally followed that advice. I didn't go through and, you know, check out, okay, who did they vote out each time? And they voted out, we mentioned already, they voted out some threats much sooner than I would have expected, which played mm-hmm. into Fabio's hands. Right. I think all three finalists more or less achieved their end goals. I mean, they made it to the final three. The one difference is Sash and Chase were simply not going to win against Fabio. Well, they weren't going to win against Holly. They weren't going to win against Jane. They might not have won against Dan. So they weren't going to win against anyone pretty much around the once they got to the final.
Which is amazing to me. Like it really is amazing to me that like I really was impressed with Sash. I really was. Oh, yeah. I understand the issues that people had with him on a personal level, but I do think as far as Survivor and gameplay is concerned, yes, he did. He played Survivor. He upset people and he blurred some lines that he probably shouldn't have, but he actually played the game. And so I do think that it's so crazy to think that he's never going to win. It blows my mind.
That's why your season was so good. Because in your season, one thing that stands out about your season is you guys played hard. Mm-hmm. You guys played against each other.
Right.
But most of the time you saw it as game moves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there were some other times, you know, there was the whole thing with you and Sunday, of course. Mm-hmm. But, you know, especially post-merge, you could go up against one another strategically and then go hang out at camp. And
yeah,
there were no problems
that you saw.
Oh, okay. That we saw.
I did get yelled at just a little bit.
You got yelled at? No, never. I shouldn't say that while you're drinking.
It'll be crazy. This season is, I just think that it's such an interesting mix to watch someone who actually played as hard as Sash did. Mm-hmm. And then to be berated the way that he was uncomfortable. And I actually mm-hmm. forgot that even happened. And as I, on the rewatch, I was reacting to it. I'm like, right. God, they're so tough on this poor guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, which takes us to Appendix B, which is the jury phase and the final tribal council. Now, when I was reading some of my old articles, I found one from Sarah Channon, who used to write for me on Reality News Online before she then later wrote for RHAP. She had a very good write-up of what happened with the jury. Looking at the Jury Speaks videos, which I don't think are still available, but it appeared that Benry, Dan, Holly, Jane, and Marty were pretty certain ahead of time who they were voting for before they even went to final tribal council. And then you had Alina, Brenda, Nayanka, and Purple Kelly, who seemed to be more open-minded. And by the way, Alina, I did not remember her at all.
I didn't either. And she's like the cutest.
I know. But yeah, I mean, and she makes it post-merge. She makes it to the jury. I had no recollection of her.
Yeah, I didn't remember her either.
The funny thing is I remembered Purple Kelly more because
she's
Purple Kelly, right? Cause so many people talk about her, but,
right.
But anyway, so those four seem to be more open-minded. And what Fabio told me was that he was glad some of the more aggressive people like Benry, Marty, and Dan were on his side and doing the jury work for him.
Interesting.
Now, with that said, I think, and Sarah also thought, that Chase probably had the best final tribal council performance of all three because he was not the wishy-washy guy.
Sarah said, I was sure Chase would fall apart when tackled by the jury about his betrayals and paranoia, and we'd seen him stammering and contradicting himself. Instead, this cool, confident man showed up, providing well-reasoned responses. You know, meanwhile, Fabio told me that Sasha's attempts to work the jury were, quote, so obvious. And I think the jurors probably saw it, too. In the meantime, Fabio brought himself and at least a couple members of the jury to tears by saying that thinking about his mom and dad pushed him in the game, right, which was Nayanka's question, I believe. But really, you know, when it all comes down to it, I think you distill it all down. Even though Chase had a better performance, Fabio didn't need a great performance.
Right.
He needed not to suck. He needed not to piss people off, like we were talking about earlier.
Right.
How if he had talked about his cunning plan, that could have really changed things. But all he had to do was not be terrible, because he wasn't the one who needed to change minds. There were already people backing him to start with.
Right. Yeah. He walked in with the deck was definitely in his favor. It's incredible to see what type of an effect juror members really can have on that final decision. And I think you said it perfectly when he just had to not do, he just had to not be terrible. He really had to not be terrible. And he actually did well with all of what we did see, what he would, the questions that were posed to him, because again, it's his ability to read the room. And if that's what his gameplay was, walking into that final tribal and hearing what people are saying, you can understand immediately they are hating on Sash. They're not impressed with Chase. I just have to continue to be myself and be the way I was in the game, because there is definite, you know, issues on either side of me here with these two individuals. And so if that's what he did perfect. He did absolutely perfect in that final tribal, because he wasn't overly aggressive. He was emotional and was very Fabio. And that worked, because it had been working throughout the game. And then to see how angry people were was just confirmation that, yep, this is working for me. I need to keep doing this.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you have multiple times referred to this as a bitter jury, and I'm sure lots of people use that term. And many of them fit the bill in the things that they said. I mean, after all, Marty said when voting, Chase is the dumbest player to ever play this game, and Sash is a weasel. Sounds a little bitter. Dan blew up at the two and admitted to me that he was angry. But I don't think we can just say the jury was bitter and leave it at that. After we've spent all this time, we've spent an hour and a half discussing the utter failure of Sash and Chase to earn their votes. You know, I mean, yes, they were upset. But how much did Sash do? How much did Chase do to make them upset? Yes, Sash was playing the game, but like we were talking about before, he also intermingled that personal and strategic connection.
Right.
If you know that these are, you know, like he had said, he watched all 20 seasons. He knew the game. If you know that these people are recruits, then maybe you have to realize they're not going to look at it the same way you do.
Right.
You know, and if you're Chase, you can't be all wishy-washy and just trying to make people happy at the beginning, because they're not going to be happy at the end. And that means at the end, they're not going to give you $1 million.
Right.
So is it a bitter jury? I mean, there were obviously people who are angry on the jury.
Right.
I think calling it a bitter jury sometimes relieves some of the finalists of their own errors.
Oh, and I don't want to do that. And by my saying that it's a bitter jury, I know that that's just kind of a term that we utilize. Right. And in watching it, I was rather uncomfortable with some of the things that were being said, because it was so personal. It was very reminiscent of Borneo when Sue Hatch got up and just
Sue Hawk.
Richard Hatch. Yeah, I got to keep all these names straight. But like, Wow. Yeah. I mean, it very, very aggressive, very deep-seated emotional commentary was coming from the jury. And that has to come from someplace, right? It doesn't just form on its own. That comes from the game that these three were playing the entire time. And it comes from those relationships that are being created. And that's why we talk so much about that social gameplay and understanding where that line is and knowing how to balance the strategy, the emotional component and the relationships and all of that. And if you are skewed at the beginning, you will be skewed at the end. And I think that's what we saw with Chase and with Sash, is that what they were doing throughout the game was working to get them further along in the game. But in the end, is that going to get you to win the game? Whereas I think Fabio was looking at it from the very beginning as to how can I get to the end but still win with this group of people. And I think that he did that differently than they both did. It was like the ends justified the means for Sash and Chase. But it really, in the eyes of the jury, you need to explain to me why you hurt me so badly if you want me to vote for you. And yes, neither one of them did that well. They stuck to that same type of mindset, as opposed to Fabio realizing, I haven't pissed anybody off and I'm going to keep doing that because it's clearly working with this group of people. So I do think that Chase and Sash have to own what they did in that final tribal, because they didn't throw Fabio under the bus for having no apparent strategy. And it was just the nice guy. You're just going to give the nice guy $1 million as opposed to people that actually were trying to play the game. Nobody really did that. They didn't turn it around on Fabio. They didn't turn it around on the other players. And they really didn't explain why what they did was the best thing and that it wasn't a personal vendetta. But so it's not completely bitter, but there were definitely some very hurt people that should have been dealt with differently.
Yeah. And I just wanted to clarify the reason I brought it up. I wanted to clarify because a lot of people will just say it's a bitter jury and then ignore everything they did. Mm-hmm. You know, people did that when Russell lost twice. Oh, it was a bitter jury.
Right.
Yeah. Because Russell bore no responsibility for making them that way, you know, and the same is true here. The way Sash and Chase acted contributed. I'm not saying it's the sole reason, but it contributed.
For sure.
All right. So it is about time to wrap things up here. So get a drink.
I know.
And tell me, what are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts on Fabio is I feel bad. I didn't remember that his name was not Fabio. That's how strange this season was. I really do think that that is a good reflection of my perception on this whole season, when the winner's name is not something that I even knew to be not his actual name. But I digress. So Fabio, we've spent a lot of time talking about his weird strategy that he had come up with and his ability to really read the room and read the people in the room. And if we are going to give him credit for doing that throughout the season, he did it phenomenally well. He played a game that I think Sash, you've mentioned, has never been played before. You know, we'd never seen somebody be able to pull this feat off. And it really is the nice guy getting to the end and the nice guy winning. But kudos to him for recognizing that that was what was going to help him win. He played into the perception of himself. He knew how people were going to see him and he took control of that, if you will. He knew that he would be viewed a certain way and he owned it. He didn't shy away from it. He leaned heavily into it. And so you have to give him credit for doing that because it really worked, especially with this group. I think that the quote that he said in the one of the episodes that I mentioned previously about utilizing all of the pieces that he's been provided is exactly what Fabio did here. He looked at all of the people he was playing this game with, recognized how they were going to interact with him, and use that in order to further himself in the game, as opposed to building alliances and relationships and strategizing. It was a whirlwind of him being himself in this group of people that were playing this game that most of them, I don't think, understood entirely. And I think he recognized that too. So in the end, we ended up with a Fabio winner, someone who nobody anticipated would actually win this season and was even forgotten about as the game moved forward until they got to the very end. And suddenly there was discussions about Fabio. So overall, he was fun to watch. There's a lot of interesting commentary that comes along with Fabio. And kudos to him for pulling off a game that nobody thought was possible, but something that I think was an eye-opening experience for everybody who watched this season.
Yeah, definitely. As I said earlier, a lot of the reason Fabio won was directly linked to the reasons that Sash and Chase lost. In another season with different finalists or different jurors, I don't see Fabio winning very often. It took a very specific turn of events for this to happen. As Sash told me, what's interesting about Survivor is the cast. You never know who you're going to be put in with. I really thought there were some players this season who would truly respect my gameplay. I think it has to do with who you're put against and those relationships and how many people really respect the game as much as you and I do. And that was him talking to me and saying you and I. He continued, I'd like to see more players in the game who are super fans like myself. That would indeed, as we discussed, happen more in later seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't there in Nicaragua to help Sash. But Fabio also helped to make that final three what it was because he saw how bringing certain people along, like Jane or Holly, would lose the game for him. He helped to make the jury feel the way they did because he was the one point of happiness in the trio that made up the final three. Throughout the season, we heard him say things about needing to lie low and not ticking people off. In many seasons, not ticking people off isn't going to get the win. But with Sash being hated and Chase being viewed as stupid and paranoid, it all worked in Fabio's favor. As Fabio said, Chase tried to make it through the game without offending or backstabbing anyone, but Fabio actually did it. Now, Chase tried to rebut that by saying Fabio did it by not knowing what was going on half the time, but the jurors apparently didn't care. Several of the jurors also took into account Fabio's immunity challenge run. Maybe it was an excuse to vote for Fabio, but we've seen before, and you mentioned this earlier, when it looks like one player is the target and manages to make it to the end, no matter how they do it, by scheming, idols, immunities, jurors hold that person in higher regard.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier, I referenced something Sash told me about Fabio's game, and he also added, Fabio played a great game. He did an awesome job and played a game I'd never seen before. I don't think I would ever say Fabio played a great game. But I would certainly say it was a game we've never seen before, or since, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. He played dumb almost the whole game and avoided being labeled as a threat. He never backstabbed anyone while he was up against two people who did it to pretty much everyone on the jury, except the quitters. But more important than any of that was that this jury had a much more emotional leaning to them than we are used to seeing these days. And I do think it goes to what you brought up about many of them being recruits. None of them were going to buy any of what Sash was selling in terms of claiming it was all game after pretending to have emotional connections earlier. And the majority wasn't on board with Chase's game of refusing to pick a side, which led to pissing off almost everyone. Fabio was able to point to just enough things that looked like strategy after staying under the radar until just the right moment. He got lucky when Nyanka and Purple Kelly quit and the flow of the game shifted in what would be his favor. He was able to win through three immunity challenges in a row to keep himself around when it finally looked like the others were ready to get rid of him. And most of all, his opponents really just made everyone else mad while he didn't. And that is why Fabio won.
There we are.
So whenever someone says, dear listeners, how the heck did Fabio win?
We just explained it.
Now you have an hour and 45 minutes that you can explain it to me.
That's right.
So, but before we go, let me remind everyone that the rules we just discussed are available as a poster,
mm-hmm.
two different types of t-shirts, and a mug. For the shirt, go to robhasawebsite.com or robhasapodcast.com. Click on the merch link and then browse through all the designs. For the poster, go to tinyurl.com/davidrulesposter2.
Yes, and you should definitely order it because it's fabulous.
Yes.
And I don't remember what I'm supposed to do right now. Am I supposed to thank everybody at this point?
It's been a long time.
Okay.
Not yet.
Yeah. Sorry.
I do first, before we thank everyone, I want to encourage people to check out the RHAP patron program at robhasawebsite.com/patron. In recent months, Rob has changed up the way he does patron podcasts. And now there are a lot more interactive opportunities like patron family feud, patron trivia, patron mafia, and more. There's even a patron only follow up podcast. I think we mentioned this for each Survivor season that Rob talks about. And of course, he still has the monthly patron call in show and a weekly Q&A show with Nicole. Even when Rob isn't talking directly to everyone, there are Facebook groups to keep you occupied with a great community of people, including both of us, where you could talk about Survivor, Big Brother, life in general. Mm-hmm. So remember to go to robhaswebsite.com/patron. And once you get to the Facebook groups, make sure to say hello.
You can also say hello to myself and David Bloomberg on our Twitter accounts. I am at Jessica Lewis 89. Look at that. And he's at David Bloomberg. So you should definitely follow both of us to get both sides of the conversation and see all of the things that we post, not just about Survivor, because unfortunately there hasn't been a whole heck of a lot happening with Survivor, but rumor has it, it's coming back soon.
We hope.
We definitely hope those rumors are true. So you should definitely follow us both again at Jessica Lewis 89 and at David Bloomberg.
Yes. Now we do need a hashtag. I mean, we can go the simple route unless you have something different. Normally, when we talk about winners, we just say hashtag why Fabio won.
I think that would be fine because I'm still fascinated that I forgot that was not.
I mean, or we could do how the heck did Fabio win? But that's a longer hashtag.
Yeah.
And of course, there is the hashtag for this podcast overall, which is why X lost. I thought about changing it to YX1 for this string of podcasts, but that'll just, confuse things.
It will. We'll stick with what people know.
Yeah. So everyone should make sure that you're subscribed to all of the RHAP Survivor podcasts at robhasapodcast.com/survivor or on your favorite podcatcher. We are also on the reality TV wrap ups feed. In both places, you can find a wide variety of great content, including, of course, the Survivor season ranking countdown, or I guess it's a count up.
I know. And
well,
I'm anxious.
I guess it is a countdown.
It's a count. I'm anxious. I'm just waiting to see what happens.
Yes. So take it away.
Now I can thank people. All right. I would like to thank Will from America for the incredible theme song that you do here before our podcast. So thank you, Will, for creating such a catchy little tune. It gets stuck in your head. I think it's great. And also thank you to Scott St. Pierre for all of the editing that he does on both the audio and video version of this Why Blank Lost podcast. So thank you both for the great work that you do. Really appreciate it. And I hope that we get to do this again soon because I'm really like out of my element at this point. I apologize.
Yeah, it was rough watching, just not doing podcasts. It was weird.
I know. It's really weird.
Now
I'm like, I have
couple,
all weekend. Yeah, I have all weekend. What is happening?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a couple, I had the Thailand podcast, and that was rough. And then I had the Pirate Master podcast, which was more fun. And even the Thailand one was fun to do. And hey, it brought Gandia back into the Survivor community. So what more could you ask?
So that's good. This is all good.
Yeah. We will keep going. I would guess that the next one will probably be in a few weeks. It probably won't be in the next 1 or 2 weeks, but we will see and watch our Twitter to find out more. But in the meantime, Jessica, thank you for joining me once again to talk Survivor. Thank you for the bear and the balloons that came with it. Thank you for not sending a rock.
That would have been really funny. I thought about it for a second. Like maybe they could just tie the balloons to a rock.
Yeah, that would have been very interesting. And I'm sure the nurses would have also been, very, very surprised about that. Like, why is it tied to a rock? I don't get it. I'm looking forward to more of these as we continue moving up the ranks. And, we will see everyone in a few seasons.
Excellent. Thanks.
A few weeks for a different season. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Survivor and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around.
They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why blank lost.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.